Ever feel like you know where you're longing to be, but it's definitely not where you are right now? What do you do with attention? These are the questions we're tackling in a new season of the Grace Lace Podcast. I'm Ruth Jo Simons, and this season we're exploring how to navigate the tension of now and not yet. Because when you're not there yet, God is still at work. Grab a cup of coffee and let's talk about it.
Okay, before we get real started today, I would like you to describe for everybody that's only listening. Ruth, what are you wearing today?
I'm kind of in a Teletubbies onesie. Okay, it's brown, and I think it's a Free People knockoff on Amazon. I promise I'll put the link in the show notes. But guys, it's the second best. It's the next best thing to like showing up in your jammies. I look like I'm wearing normal shirt on top.
Yeah.
But really, it's a onesie. It's like, you know your babies, and I just don't have snaps all the way down the legs. But it's like basically the same thing. I'm just in a big old adult onesie, and I love it.
I am a big fan of that. I just, when you said Teletubby, it's kind of where it got me. Like, just the image that comes to mind. It's like, oh, yeah, Teletubbies. Forgot about that.
I think it's because I have headphones on right now and my hair is up and I just feel a little, Teletubby-ish. And I've got my little ultra mini Uggs on as well. So I'm the epitome of like chill and
cozy,
right this minute.
Is it cold where you are today?
There's snow on the ground and it is, we had like a little mini blizzard, but here in Colorado, it basically goes back and forth. So,
yeah, it was really nice. It was 68 degrees on whatever day, Monday, glorious. Today it's 30 degrees and windy.
I know. Midwest.
So sad.
I know. Indiana. Oh my.
Okay. Well, now that we've got our outfits out of the way and the weather, I think we can jump in. We are kicking off a new season of the podcast today, and part of it is in celebration of your new book that Woo-hoo! Released last week.
Woo-hoo! It feels so good to finally have that out in the world. Oh my goodness. I mean, okay, I always say that it actually feels like when you release a book, this is what I said to my small group last week. I said, it feels like stepping out in a very small bikini. Like it just feels like I'm literally
very vulnerable.
Yes. And I really feel like, oh, this feels so like tender because I do want to hear feedback. I do want to know how the words are resonating. And it is a lot of personal insight based on real stories in my life. And it's me applying the gospel in my life. Mm-hmm. But when you put that stuff out in the world, you do realize like, it's just all out there. So
people are going to read it.
And yeah. So when I say woo, and I'm excited, I'm also like, okay, trust the Lord with all of it. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm very excited. I had the privilege of reading it a long time ago. So I really love that people are getting it now and reading it and seeing comments and feedback. And I love it. So this season of the podcast is a little bit kind of digging maybe just a little bit deeper or telling other stories because there's no way that we can deal with the topic. So the book, in case I should have started with this, in case you have missed it, is called Now and Not Yet, Pressing In When You're Waiting, Wanting, and Restless for More. And so that title and all of the things that go along with it, there's no way you can stick all of them just into written form in the book. So this season is to kind of explore that theme as it applies to other areas of life that you didn't get to write about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I can't think of one person who couldn't relate to the feeling of wanting to be over there on the other side of hard things or just circumstances, even if it's not hard, just circumstances that are like, oh, do I really have to deal with this right now? Like, please. Do I really have to do the laundry right now? Do I really need to discipline or train my children to get along one more time. Mm-hmm. All of us would like to be on the other side of the tedious and the unwanted and be where we really want to go instead of right here. And so, in 10 chapters, I couldn't get to every single scenario and we still won't in all these episodes, but, but the desire here is that we could flesh these ideas out a little bit more and between stories that you and I can tell just in chatting as friends to having some larger conversations with others it's an opportunity for us to say, this applies to all of us in different seasons of life in different scenarios. And so I'm excited.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of the conversations will be you and I, like typical. And then we have some special guests tackling topics that we don't have any expertise in, but other people may have more insight into. I think everyone will be excited to know there's also at least one, maybe even two, but at least one episode with Troy coming up.
He doesn't know about it yet, but he's going to be on.
Right. And, we have voluntold him that that's what's going to happen.
You know, he's so wise about, I mean, and honestly, I mean, I don't have it right in front of me, but I did actually write the dedication to him. Yeah. And I thought about it for a little bit. I was like, you know, I really wanted to dedicate this book to all my readers, really, because I know we're all going through this. But I really do credit Troy with being the one who has taught me how to, whether it was like blatantly teaching me or was like modeling it for me. But he's the one who's taught me how to persevere and press on and start where I am right here. Like even the fact that on this podcast, we often say, what's one small thing you can do today? How do you start where you are? That start where you are idea really originated. I mean, we all have versions of this in our lives, but in my home, it started because I'm so easily discouraged, Eve. I'm so that person who's easily like, if I can't do it amazingly well, I'm not going to do it at all.
I've never heard you say that. Yeah. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh my gosh. Okay. It's so funny because I've
always never texted that to me.
Oh, I know. It's like, it's excellent or not at all. Or if I can't do it all the way, then why should I even start? Or that feeling of like, this was my goal. And if I didn't get the goal, then I don't know how to persevere now. And Troy so often helps me discern, okay, is this something you actually do need to quit or pause or change course on or pivot from? Or is it that you just need to start again and start where you are and persevere and lean into what is happening right now and take the very next step? And so you will hear all about various ways that applies in the book, but we really wanted to have a season of conversations that really come along and support that conversation in the book so that we can really start seeing how much it applies in all our lives in various ways.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to talk a little bit about motherhood. You'll hear some stories about suffering. We'll dig into some theology, singleness, marriage, and a few surprises along the way. So super excited for what this season holds. Ruth, one thing that I've been thinking about as I continue to process the book and see what other people write and questions they have and comments they make is, why do you think we struggle with tension so much? Like, why is it hard for us to hold in tension? Why can't we just say like, yes, and like that now and not yet? Either one of those things I think I can handle and process okay. Like I can deal with right now, or I can put hope in not yet. Like I can think about the future and know what God's promises are and hold on to those. But holding them together in tension is what feels so hard. Why do you think that is?
Well, I mean, it won't be any surprise to you, but I think ultimately it all goes back to the fall, right? It always goes back to the fact that God perfectly created an environment and a situation in which his handcrafted creation and we as his image bearers would have everything we need. Right. We would lack nothing and we would be completely content and satisfied in his presence. And if you know me, you've heard me say this before, but I flesh this out in the book as well. But ultimately, when Eve reached out and took the fruit, it wasn't just that the serpent was good at mind games or hypnotized her or said just the right thing, or that the apple was polished up real shiny and it was like, ooh, yummy. But it was that she goes, oh, I could be wise like God and know what he knows, because I'm guessing he may not have given me everything I really need or really want. So I might need to go and grab it for myself. I think the issue is just that we were made to be satisfied in God, and God sent Jesus so that we could be restored once again to being, to having the capacity and the appetite for satisfaction in Christ and not just in our own control and formulation of our best life ever on our own. And so I think the tension is because in our earthly state, we are still being made new and being transformed into his likeness. Even if already we are forgiven, already we are loved, chosen, forgiven, and welcomed into the family of God. But our sin hasn't magically disappeared. We're still in this bodily form where on this side of heaven, we're still going to wrestle with that innate desire to be like, well, I know best. God doesn't. And so we're grasping and reaching for something that God hasn't given us yet. And so that tension is hard because we just don't know how to wait.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to, right? We're just kind of, not kind of, we're a lot impatient. We want what we want now. And I think it's fascinating that that's what it boils down to for us. And yet we serve this God who operates outside of time, right? Like for us, it's very like, we have to have this thing and it's right now and my lifetime or the next 10-year plan. And God is seeing things and orchestrating our life from something totally outside of time. Like he's working in the realm of eternity. That's a good reminder for me.
If you're a parent like me, you hope that your children will grow up to develop an unshakable faith, to follow Jesus and live out his call on their lives in a way that brings glory to God. But you also know that our kids live in a world that can be challenging to follow Christ faithfully, which is why Summit Ministries is such a great resource. Here's how one mom described her kids' experience. "I'm not capable of teaching my kids all the things they learn at Summit. I homeschool them and we read a lot of great books together, but nothing compares to what they've internalized after attending Summit. Summit takes the best of the best speakers and they plan each session in such a way that the kids can get the most out of it. That means having downtime, having fun activities, good food, thoughtful dialogue, access to speakers, staff connection, all of it. I'm sending three of the Simons Man Cubs to Summit as soon as our schedule allows, hopefully next summer, and I'm so excited for them. If you have a child between the ages of 16 and 22, send them to a two-week Summit experience in Colorado or Georgia this summer. Learn more and register at summit.org/gracelaced and save $200 off the cost with the code RUTH24. That's RUTH 24. Well, and I think I wrote the book because I feel like it's been a reoccurring theme in my life, season after season, decade after decade. I'm now, you know, soon to be closing out the last year of my 40s and recognizing that the lesson has been the same, even if the circumstances have changed. It's always an issue of God wanting me to see him at work, see him faithful, more faithful than I even know, right in the moment that I'm in, not looking ahead and going, if I could only get that, if I could only be there, if I could only have that new set of circumstances, then God, I'll trust you. Then God, I will do what you say. Then God, I'll have a good attitude. No, it starts right now.
Yeah. And in the book and also in the Bible study, you said a key phrase that I'm going to come back to in a minute. But in Now Not Yet, you explore a lot of different Bible narratives and how this tension plays out for those people. So we talk about everyone from like Joseph to Hannah to Paul, lots of different people, the Israelites, how they have a promise in mind or that God has made to them and they're waiting. So they have to still be faithful today. They have to figure out how to take the next step, how to persevere. And in the Bible study, we get to unpack that a lot more with six specific stories. And you said the subtitle for the Bible study, which is Six Ways God is More Faithful Than We Know.
Because I think I know how faithful he is. But the reality is, if I really knew just how faithful he is, I wouldn't always live the way I live. And so I want to grow in my understanding of how faithful he is, because that will change the next thing I do and the next thought I think and the next step I take. Yeah. And, you know, one of the things I think about a lot is how much we struggle to step into the right now circumstances because we think that it's up to us. We think that we're the hero of the story, which I've said that phrase multiple times that God is the hero of our stories.
Absolutely.
And I think this study, the Bible study, and then also the book really shows once again, I think the theme here is even in the tension of the now and not yet, God saying, hey, sweetie, look over here. I'm actually the hero here. Yeah. I'm the one that's going to accomplish and complete what I started. You don't have to stress out just because you don't see the fruit right now. You don't have to stress out just because the circumstances haven't all come together. Yeah. You don't have to fear and dig a hole and bury yourself just because you're thinking that you can't get yourself where you want to go. I'm actually the one who does it all.
Yeah. Yeah. There's purpose in it. He's with us, you know, like all along the way. It's not anything that we're supposed to do on our own. We're meant to be dependent on him for each and every step.
And so the thing that I think I'll just leave as a teaser here, because I think it'll be a theme in every single conversation that we have throughout this podcast season. And if you're concurrently reading the book alongside this season or anticipate to do the Bible study with your small group or with your church, I want you to know there is a thread, a theme through every single part of this message, and that's this. God has you exactly where you are right now because his desire is to show you his greatness, not your lack in your right now circumstances, because he's already provided all that you possibly could long for in the not yet, and it's waiting for you.
Yeah. I love that. That's such a sweet reminder. Some of you might need to pause, rewind, and listen to it again. It's really, that is the most helpful piece, I think, from this conversation.
Well, I hope you take that and join us with every single episode, because whether you relate to that particular conversation or scenario we're sharing about, I think we all need to grow in our ability to see through the gospel lens of his faithfulness so that in our particular stories, in our particular situations, we start noticing, oh, that's right. I see that. I see God's faithfulness in the way he is working in my story as well.
Yeah. Well, as we kind of wrap up this longer introduction to the season and kind of what's going on, we can both answer this one. I won't just put you on the spot, but what would you say is the biggest, like, not yet situation that you are currently navigating, and maybe how are you starting where you are, or how should you be starting where you are? Like, kind of, since we normally end the podcast with, you know, what's the gospel implication, and then what are we doing, what's our one small thing, maybe this season we can twist it just a little bit, like, what's the not yet you're wrestling with, and how are you starting where you are?
The simplest one, because there's a couple, but I'll start with the simplest one. The simplest one is that I'm in the tension of, I still have young ones at home and I've launched adult children. And so the not yet is, I can't yet see what the next season of life is going to feel like when Troy and I are home alone, when these boys who we've done these last two decades of life together as a unit with are no longer in our home every day, and they share their lives with others that I don't know yet. And how will that change our dynamics? How will that change how I feel about myself, or what our purposes will be? And while I'm not having a midlife crisis, I know that just sounded like maybe I was, but while I don't actually think I'm going through a midlife crisis or anything, but I think the tension is real and I grieve it. I feel the sadness of, I'm not yet in a place where I feel like it's really wonderful.
Yeah.
But I'm right now in a tension that I don't know will go away anytime soon because I still have several more years before anything really transitions and changes. So how I can start right now, I actually just recently put out an Instagram post about this, but I lean in to maximizing and soaking up everything I can of the right now season, meaning maybe it's not that I get to go on a walk with all six of my children, but I will go on a walk with the two youngest and have the conversations that I had 15 years ago with the older ones and recognize that I still have lots of opportunities. And right now I can lean into what I do have and not what I don't. And so that's what I'm starting with.
I love that. That's a good word
for what about you?
Me as a mama too, even though I'm far away from launching children. Well, maybe not as far as it feels like right now, but I think for me in the last maybe week or two, there's just been a lot of heaviness in lives of people around me, a lot of just broken relationships, broken ways of being, some health issues, like just a lot of pieces around me. And I think I've just really felt that weight of like, God promises to make all things new. Like it's that real theological version of he promises to make things new. He's going to restore. He is in the business of, you know, that renewal restoration. But right now it feels kind of crappy. Like right now it feels overwhelming on some level to say like, okay, Lord, like what do I do with this heaviness that I just like feel in your soul? So I think what I'm doing to kind of start where I am and just kind of keep persevering is I've been in Psalms a lot, just reading. I think, you know, we've talked about before, like David is super honest in the Psalms. Like all of his emotions are right there and he brings them to the Lord. And
he's not hiding.
He's not hiding it. There's some lament of like, Lord, it feels like this and I don't like it, but I will remind myself of what's true about who you are and about your character. So I think returning to lament and staying in the Psalms for a season is my way of persevering.
I love that, because you sure don't have to. Nowhere in this conversation or in this podcast will we ever say, you know, here's a Bible verse so we can start smiling real big and not
it's all good. Feel,
this not wonderful season or our right now circumstances, it's all good because it's all great. It's never going to be that message because that's not what we see in scripture. It's that even if it's hard, even if it's not what you want, even if you can't see the fruit, even if you don't know why you're here, God actually has purpose and he will show you if you lean in, because he is actually at work more than we know.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Well, I can't wait. I'm excited for everybody to hear all the episodes and, let us know what you think.
Thanks for joining us today, friends. We will catch you the next episode next week.